Hello and welcome to Over the Trent, a very overdue Over the Trent. Myself and Kieran have been very busy with work, coursework deadlines, and we've finally gotten around to recording about a wonderful end of season. Kieran has just come off the back of 3 days of long, hard work. Kieran, how are you feeling this morning?
I've got another one coming up in 3 hours, so I'm not really looking forward to that. But yeah, no, I'm excited to be talking about Forest again. It's been a while. And I'm just bored, honestly. It's so boring when football's not on. You've had the cricket at least.
Yeah.
But like, I've just had the F1 races, which it's kind of a bit more sparse, the calendar. So it's been boring.
Let's start with Mansfield Town. Kieran's wearing a Borussia Dortmund shirt. The yellow has prompted me to talk about the amber and gold of Mansfield Town, who lost in the playoff final to Port Vale. Big disappointment. But from the start, where I first went to a Mansfield Town game, bottom of the league in Halloween, to get to the playoff final, to perform so well throughout that year, and from the bottom of the league to beating Northampton Town, who should have been promoted if it wasn't for Scunthorpe conceding 7 in a day, to get to Wembley for the Mansfield Town's fans, it must have been fantastic. And luckily, they're playing championship teams next year in Derby in the group stage of the Papa John's Trophy, which I might go to. I'm really tempted to go to that. But obviously, we're not going to be
laughing. Bit of a local rivalry, that.
A local rivalry now. And obviously, we're not going to be laughing at Derby. You did never catch Over the Trent doing that. But we're here to talk about Forest. Obviously, we talked about Notts County on our last podcast. Forest are in the Premier League. How wonderful does that feel? A month on, how wonderful does that feel, Kieran?
I mean, you still look back at Wembley and it's just like, did that actually happen? Because like it was a terrible, terrible game of football. I'm going to put that out there. It is honestly, I think it's the worst game of football I've ever seen live in my life. But it was the atmosphere, the event, the fact that it actually happened was just amazing. And I couldn't care less about it being a bad game of football. And it's not only that, is how Forest have operated since knowing that we're in the Premier League as well. They've gone out and got some good signings, which we'll go on to later on. It looks like they're really, really, obviously they're going to be taking it seriously, but it looks like they're really, really pushing to stay up as well. And I mean, that Wembley game was just phenomenal. The sellout crowd, more than a sellout crowd, because we had some fans in their end as well. And it's such an amazing day. I can't really put it into words.
And you're not even a Forest, like you are a Forest fan, but you're a Brighton fan primarily.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the ramifications of what that's going to mean on, I think, October the 16th, I want to say the date is. It's going to be a very interesting day for you. But let's talk about Wembley. Let's break it down into our constituent parts. So we plan to meet at Beeston Station with our friend Drew, who's been a half-season ticket holder. He's been a big Forest fan for most of his life, as well as supporting Tottenham. Get to Beeston Station, we're told you're in trouble with the trains. And it turns out 1,500 Forest fans are lining up around the train station. Nervous at that stage, I think we all were. So we have to drive down with Mitch and, oh, what was her name? There was another, who was else in that car?
I can't remember, but
We love Mitch. We love Mitch. But obviously, two people, because everyone's plans were disrupted, trains weren't going ahead. And in a sort of similar style to what I've heard of stories of going to Madrid and Munich, people just hopped a lift with us to Watford to get the tram in to Wembley. And that
bit of a difference. Bit of a difference between Madrid and Watford, though, isn't there?
Yes, I'll admit that. But the actual emotion of the day.
Yeah.
And I admit Watford doesn't quite have the Santiago Bernabeu, but, you know, it felt like that for the day. It really felt like an important moment in Forest fans' history, especially our generation's fans. And I think that sort of going down the motorway and seeing lots of other Forest cars potted around and then going to Wembley, seeing that massive wall of red and that, let's face it, the walkway was absolutely red more than blue.
Yes.
And that's factual, let's face it. It felt like an event that Forest haven't had in a long time, a really long time. And the way I can compare it to is when I go to the American football and I see lots of American football jerseys. You've also been to an American football game. That Away Days episode is still available on @_AwayDays. It's that moment of just seeing the buildup of shirts, that buildup of mass humanity going to one place to watch a team. that was really special. And to have that as a Forest fan for the first time, going on the tube, seeing lots of Forest shirts, it just was so special to me. And it really felt like an event. And that first Mullican tie with all the scarves, with all the flags, was just absolutely incredible. That's something that we'll never, ever forget.
What caught us by surprise. It caught us by surprise a little bit, didn't it? Because they were showing, like, they showed the opening video for Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And it was about, what, 3 minutes long? And yeah. Then there was ours that was about 10 minutes long. So,
didn't we?
and then we sung Mull of Kintyre before kickoff as well. And it was just, it made it feel like we were at the City Ground, but it was very obvious we weren't.
Yes, and that atmosphere. Let's talk about the atmosphere first, because that's what we're really good at. We love talking about Forest atmosphere. It was a home tie for Forest. It was a home tie. The noise that was produced, I think the commentator, Don Goodman, said that is the loudest end he's ever heard whilst commentating at Wembley. Now, obviously, for the Euros, that's not really a home end. That's the whole stand and all that. For an end, as if it was the FA Cup final, if it was the playoff final, to dominate and just to be an absolute sea of red was an absolute credit to the fans. Absolute credit to the fans. And you see stories of, like, Matt Ford, who's in the director's box, being consoled by the directors as he's crying because he's so emotional about it. Stuart Broad having a really rough voice the next day. It's just, it means so much to Forest fans. And it was just, I remember the hug I gave you after the own goal. It was one of the tightest races I've ever given anyone. It was a really magical moment. So let's talk about the actual game now. That's what people are here for. What an awful game. What an awful
terrible
game of football. First 40 minutes, both teams are clearly settling in. I've watched the game back quite a few times. There are not many chances. There really are not that many chances. There was a few times they broke down the wing we were at. So it must have started with Samba, who didn't finish the game, but Samba was at our end. That was an amazing just sort of defensive procedure. But Huddersfield did not look like scoring, did they, Kieran? It was a really strong performance.
I mean, Huddersfield didn't look like scoring, but it didn't stop you from looking like a ghost still for like the entire game. it was dreadful. We looked like we were the better of the two teams for the first 40 minutes, I'd say. I think we had maybe one or two chances in that time, though, and they were half chances, to be honest. They weren't even full chances. It was a bit worrying, I have to admit. It was a bit worrying that we weren't creating a little bit better, but then the own goal happened, obviously, and that kind of changed the complexion of the tie a little bit.
It really
was Huddersfield really were just kind of sitting in and letting us kind of go to them. They were letting us play in front of them. They were really compact, really well organized, actually. But then obviously after the own goal went in, that kind of, I said to you, they're going to have to attack us. And I was really worried because Huddersfield aren't a bad side on the break. And that's where they got us a few times as well.
Yeah, when there was that occasional break down the wing, I remember Joe Worrell slipped just in front of us. And we were down in that bottom tier. And it just, the shivers down my spine. But when Forest have played Huddersfield this year, it's been a 2-0 win away at home under Stephen Reid, and then a 1-0 loss to the City Ground over the really bad COVID-infected December, where actually Forest got something like 20-odd shots and just lost 1-0 and Huddersfield had one. And then playing them in the FA Cup, they got a lucky set piece and Forest dominated the rest of that game and won 2-1. It's very interesting that they never really figured us out and that Huddersfield could rely on a 1-0 win but could never chase the game. I find that really interesting. And that Carlos Corberan is a really wonderful manager. And like we said, amazingly set up team. I thought Huddersfield could win it because sometimes, I know Forest are well set up, but in finals like that, you want defensive structure. You want that 1-0. Yeah. It's very hard to win a final 3-2, say. And if you looked at the last two FA Cup and League Cup finals, it was 0-0, 0-0. And had to go to penalties. And that was Tuchel being a fantastic defensive expert, in my opinion. I think they had the better structure on the day, but they just couldn't break the pure man performance of players like Joe Worrell, Ryan Yates, who I thought arguably his best performance in a Forest shirt. He was getting so stuck in, and that's what you want from someone like Yates. And that's why I think he'll be really good in the level above. He's improved so much. when I first watched him, I think his debut was against West Brom under Aitor Karanka. You're thinking quite a gangly lad, quite clumsy, if we're quite honest, a little bit. His headers last season, 9 open goals, I seem to remember him missing with his head. And you think this year he's been an absolute barnstorming success of headers in the box, headers clearing out, so impactful in the midfield. And let's talk about that goal. Jimmy Garner, it's a swing into the box. Yates is causing that problem. And it comes off the defender, goes top bin somehow, ensue utter limbs in the Forest end. A great time to score. And then Forest have that luxury of scoring before half-time, being able to reset out their game plan, and Huddersfield again chasing the game. When that goal went in, Kieran, were you like me and thinking, okay, this is going to be fine now? Well, actually, that's such a lie. Did you? Because no. I didn't think that at all. I'm
no.
And I was, but it was so nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
It was relief for about 15 seconds. And then I was there like, wait, we've still got another half of the game left. And Forest are notoriously bad at holding on to leads.
Especially in playoffs.
So I was there, like, we got 45 minutes of pure nerve-wracking football coming up. I don't know whether Dom's heart is going to be able to take this. But it did. That's why you're here. And obviously, the goal itself, fantastic finish by the defender. Honestly, no keeper's saving that. And I think it was Levi Colwill as well, the guy that's been linked to like multiple Premier League clubs. He's been linked to Brighton quite a bit, actually.
One of those clubs he's been linked with, Nottingham Forest, who are a Premier League club. And that second half, I can't remember any of it.
I can't.
It was just a blur of missed battles, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was just kind of Forest fans edging the team on as much as they could, because that the only thing I remember from that second half is that we didn't stop singing.
No, we did not. My throat so badly.
And all I remember is us laughing at Huddersfield fans because they were all sat down, barely making a noise. Then there was us, didn't sit down all game.
It was so noticeable how much the Forest fans pleaded it on. And I know this is going to be listened to by Forest fans. They're going to be some, and you know, some people are just URN who just like listening to URN content, who are thinking, oh, come on, this is just Forest propaganda. If you watch it back, it is. But it's clearly the fact that Forest are so desperate for it. And you just saw the scenes around us. It was such a desperate plea for success. And to finally have it, and that final shot where it goes wide and you finally think, we're going to do it, was a bizarre sensation. I've dreamt about that moment on many a run, many a long night, many a drink. And to finally have it, to be a thing, it was almost too much to comprehend. It was mad. But before we get to the full-time whistle and the lifting of the trophies, and there was a bit of controversy. Well, two bits of controversies. The Jack Colback prayer. What do you think? That's not a penalty. I know Alex Beaver from Chatting Out Champions has said there's contact, that must be a penalty. But in my opinion, contact doesn't mean penalty. It means
no
contact, that's not a foul. If a penalty was brought up by contact, then we'd have to play rules similar to netball where there is no contact allowed.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're playing football. That's not me having to go at netball before anyone complains. Doesn't mean it's a foul. That first one, not a penalty. Do you agree?
I feel like it's one of those that if that happened, if say the roles were reversed and it was a Huddersfield player on one of our players, we would be fuming at it. Sure.
I think the next one's a penalty.
I feel like if that happened to us, we would be fuming at it. But it'd be one of those that we're like, okay, cool. Possibly a penalty, possibly not. I feel like it's on the day. It's one of those decisions that depend on the officials at the time. It's not really like a black and white kind of yes, no decision. It's in that grey area, whether it's how much contact results in a penalty at the end of the day. And that's different depending on person to person. But I do like the little prayer that Colback did at the end.
Yeah. My Catholic mum absolutely loved that. She was like, oh, always loved Jack Colback. then comes on to Max Lowe, who comes back on and is quite rusty, it's fair to say, that is a penalty. How that's yes. with VAR, that is something from the gods, to be honest. And Forest have had a lot of bad luck this year with penalties. Think about all the times Brennan Johnson has won one. Think about that time in Bournemouth. Think about Luton with the goal. We've had so much bad luck over the years, and especially this year, dare I say, to finally have a little bit of retribution. I'm sorry, Huddersfield fans. That is okay with me. That is absolutely okay with me.
I don't think this was the game to test Lowe out again, to be honest.
No, it wasn't.
I feel like when he came on, we were there like, what are you doing, Cooper? This just this seems like a huge gamble. But, I mean, other than that decision, he didn't play phenomenally, but he was solid. He didn't really... He didn't really do too much. He did his job. I think that's fair to say that he did his job, and he seemed like he was on his way to getting back to what he was before the injury. However, yeah, that penalty was a penalty, and I agree with you. After the run of luck that Forest have had in this season in particular, it was about time that one decision went our way.
Yeah, I completely agree. So then comes Brees Samba, then starts time wasting. We're thinking of me going, oh, Brees, what are you like? No, he. But then this came, he was injured and he wasn't. It's a bit of a mess. What was your opinion, Kieran? Because I think he was actually injured, but then the adrenaline of him getting to the Premier League allows him to dance a bit. I know that's not in sight as the reason he's not injured, but I think he was genuinely injured. What do you think?
He was injured. Just his body movement, the way he was acting. There's housery, and then there's like he genuinely looked like he was wincing and in pain a little bit. So I feel like he did hurt himself, but the adrenaline kind of edged him on. And I mean, at the parade the next day, he got asked how his groin was, and he was like, "Oh, it's fine, that's fine." But it did look like he hurt it on the day a little bit. So.
Oh, yeah, and then Horvath comes on, and it's a new level of stress there. That was different level of stress. Horvath coming on, that's just not what you needed, you know.
Especially not when it was only 1-0 and it could potentially still go to penalties, and we've just lost one of the best penalty saving goalkeepers I've ever seen.
Completely agree with you there, and then obviously it goes to be fine. We all know this is a month on. And then there's the celebrations that go on and on and on in a wonderful way. And I still have songs that were played over the Wembley Tannoy. I think Yaz, The Only Way Is Up, is now one of my favourite songs because it just reminds me of that feeling of both of us just go, we're in the Premier League. And all that means, that is going on fantasy Premier League and being able to put Brennan Johnson, that is looking in match attack books and just seeing pictures of Forest players.
Match of the day.
Match the day, FIFA, it all means so much to Forest fans to be finally recognised. It means so much. And that all comes at you, a big, like a massive wave of emotion. And then you start to break it down as you get out of Wembley and you have to do that two stops to get to the tram. It was it's a very weird motion of just realising that something you've watched your whole life is about to change significantly. You are going to have big games every week. You are going to be focused on by the media. You aren't going to have to search out your usual stuff. You're going to be talked about by Gary Lineker. You're going to be talked
about. We're playing the real Sky Blues rather than Coventry.
Yeah, we're going to be playing big teams again. And that means so much to me. It means it's all I've ever wanted with Forest. So I'm so grateful for that moment. Oh, and it's not moments, it's moments. And it keeps happening to you. And then the drive back was hilarious with just Forest flags all over this place. And lifting that trophy. How the hell is Gaetan Bong that close to the trophy in the lift? Every time I've watched that clip, he's next to Graban, lifting it with Wazza. And you're just like, Gaetan, you haven't played since November, pal. You haven't played.
Apparently he's, he had this at Brighton as well, actually. Apparently he's just a really, really nice sound guy. Very light within the squad. So that's the reason how he always seems to be like in the middle of everything. He's just not a very good player, to be honest.
No, he is League One at best, in my opinion. But then you just see the pure emotion of Yates, Spence and Jono running back for that goal kick, just running towards the fans. And that eruption of noise was just incredible. I've never been part of something like that before. And it's just magical for everyone around us. And it means so much to Forest fans. I've said that.
There's one thing. There's one thing we got to speak about, though. The DJ at Wembley. What are you doing, pal? Like, you put on Depeche Mode. And what was it?
He
mixed it.
From his eye. Yeah. He kept bouncing it up and down. It's like, what are you doing?
He mixed it. And I was there, like, just put on Depeche Mode. Like, that is literally the song that is needed right now.
Yeah, it did need that. And when it did come on, it was fantastic. And it was just wonderful. That last Mullican Tire at Wembley was just... that is fantastic. And then we go back home and, you know, we get home about midnight, I think it was, or just before.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you're going into town. And I want to hear your experience of this. Bringing Erin, April, Jake Longhurst, Pavan, you know, people who like football, but who aren't Forest fans, and bringing them to the city centre where 40,000 fans are celebrating, confetti, flares, everything was incredible. It was just one of my favourite moments. And you see it on all the I Believe in Miracles documentaries. You see it in the pre-match video with Robin Hood and Brian Clough of that town centre packed out. And to be part of that, it felt like being part of a movie. It felt like being part of that documentary, that this was happening to us. And for you, what was that afternoon like?
Well, that's the first ever like parade / celebration, I suppose, that I've ever gone to, because I unfortunately missed the Brighton one when we went up. Mm. So that was really special. I mean, it took me a good hour to find you guys, just because it was that busy. I was trying to move around the crowd, texting you and April, just asking, where are you? And I couldn't find you at all. But it was really, like, you could tell the players were just hungover. One, they were completely hungover. But two, they just were having the time of their lives, honestly. I mean, we're not going to say exactly what he said, but Steve Cook, his speech about a certain official. It's just stuff like that. You don't get that in like post-match interviews, because they'll get fined for saying it. But in that moment, it's just pure emotion. They say whatever they want. They can't, like, nothing can happen to them. So they can literally, it's kind of like a behind the scenes look of how the players are actually feeling, rather than that kind of drilled in post-match interview that you get all the time.
It demonstrated how much it meant to them. And I think Joe Worrell mentioned, I won't use the word, but it was SH, about how bad Forest played last year.
Oh yeah.
And on the press match. And I feel a real connection to this team, and that how they it means so much to them. And I don't really want it to end. I don't want it to end, and we're going to talk about this, but a whole new Forest team is going to have to come in and play. But that was an incredible afternoon, just being able to see everyone in Forest gear out in Market Square and have a happy news story about Forest. It's just been fantastic. So then we got to look at the realism of what going up really means. And then on a few days ago, the Premier League fixtures got released. So Forest's first five games are away at Newcastle United, home at West Ham, away at Everton, and home to Spurs, then following an away day to Manchester City. Tough five games, isn't it? There's not a lot to... Where are we getting points there?
I feel like every game's going to be tough. Like, the thing is, this happened 5 years ago when Brighton went up. You go to every game just hoping for a draw. Like, it's honestly terrible, terrible football for the first season. We're not going to... But when you do eventually get that 3 points, and it's an unexpected 3 points, I think the 3 points that we got was Tottenham and United in our first season or something like that. And I remember that was honestly two of the best days of my life when I went to that. That was just two games where you don't expect to get points. And when that eventually does happen to Forest, the City ground is going to be bouncing, honestly. But in those first few games, it's going to be tough. I feel like Newcastle is going to be a very, very tough game away as well. St. James's Park, bring your binoculars. it's going to be a very tough game, especially with how they're setting up. Everton possibly could be a point there.
Well, I'm going to try and be positive. I'm going to try and be positive here.
Newcastle, I feel like West Ham could be a point.
Newcastle could be a lot of new signings. There's a chance you could break them down in experience with their new, lots of money. Okay, that's my positive. West Ham, that first home atmosphere is going to be incredible. Everton, sorry, James Aldridge, they can organise a bun fight in a bakery under Frank Lampard. It's a miracle. I'm not worried about them. It's the Spurs and Man City that worry me a lot.
Those I feel like Man City is going to be one of those games where they either win like a solid 2-0, nothing too bad, we can walk away with our heads held high, or it's going to be like an 8-0 demolition.
Yeah. But it's a game I've always wanted to go to, and I'm sure lots of fans can go to. It's going to be a fantastic experience. Then we're going to have to talk about players leaving. That's a real shame. If you look at the players that started that final, Spence is probably off to Spurs. And we talked about this on the private group chat. We're going to try and look at the positives of everything. Obviously, Forrest is going to miss out on a wonderful talent. But he didn't do too well by the end of the Championship season. He wasn't allowed to express himself like he was against Arsenal and Leicester. But those being the two games where I think he was excellent, because he got pinned down by two markers. And that meant Johnson was sort of marked down a bit more. And I think the defending side of Jed Spence's game isn't quite Premier League standard yet, if we're quite honest. It's not there. Now, obviously, like, fullbacks have changed, their roles have changed, they're now attacking players. But for Forrest, this year is a excellent, excellent attacking winger, wing back, going to be what we need? Possibly not. So that's something to think about. Obviously, you've got to score goals, and we've got to think about that. But that's something I think we need to remember, is that maybe he's not the right fit for a Forest team going up. Go back to the keeper, Samba, he's fallen out. I think the club have really shot themselves in the foot there. Even as a backup keeper, he would have been excellent and someone for the fans to still love. And it seems like both parties have argued their way out. And it reminds me of Brian Clough and Archie Gemmell, really. They both just argued with each other, said things they'll probably regret. And I don't think any Forest fan thinks less of Samba at the moment for what he's done for the club. Just coming in under Sabri and thinking, who's this lad? After having the Man City loanee who literally fumbled three goals in every time, who was just atrocious. And Costa's actually playoffs, if we're brutally honest. To have Samba come in, bring a bit of joy to the club again, have a really reliable keeper to be a great distributor, to fight for the club. It's a shame for him to go. But then we've got Dean Henderson coming in. A wonderful signing. A really good signing, Kieran, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if he can replicate his Sheffield United form, we've got one of the best English keepers in the league playing for us, which, I mean, is phenomenal. He obviously carried that Sheffield United side that season. And if he can replicate that form at the City Ground, it is a huge upgrade if he can do that. Either way, I think it is going to be an upgrade. He just brings that experience of training for a top Premier League side, obviously United. He's played a few games for him. He's played FA Cup games. I think he's played in the Champions League once. I can't remember them. But he's been there and he's done it already. He knows what to expect from the Premier League. And he's got a solid defence in front of him. So I feel like that is a very, very smart signing, especially considering that it's a loan. So it's not costing us anything.
It is costing us the possibility to loan James Garner back. But did you ever think that was possible under the new youth-orientated Ten Hag?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Ten Hag was always going to want to look at him in pre-season after what he did at Forest, because he is he's something different. United don't really have a Jimmy Garner at their club at the moment. But then they have just brought in Eriksen as well, so that might dent his chances a little bit. And if they do get Frankie de Jong as well, that is another signing that's just going to stop him from getting into the first team. I feel like he's definitely got to be playing Premier League football this season, though. So it's going to, unless we can get, I think the only way we can loan him back is if we have an option to buy in the loan deal, which if we can get that negotiated with United, that would be the best move for all parties, I feel.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to have James Garner back in the midfield. Then we've got, we're really missing out at left back, in my opinion. We'll talk about signings. Only got a few minutes left on the record. And then you look at someone like Keenan Davis, who's been sensational. Villa are going to keep him, obviously, because Watkins and Ings, for quite honest, Watkins is doing well. Ings isn't looking like a long, long-term plan.
He wants to leave.
Exactly. So that meant Keenan Davis, who was absolutely wonderful for us, is going to have to leave. Now, Forest have made other signings along with Dean Henderson. Kieran, would you like to pronounce the new record signing, please, for Nottingham Forest?
Yes. Taiwo Awoniyi. He is a player, he's a Nigerian footballer who came from Union Berlin, had a very, very solid Bundesliga campaign, scoring 15 goals, getting one assist in 31 matches. Not a bad signing at all, really. He's very physical, came through the Liverpool Youth Academy as well. So he knows the country. He's already knows the language. Not going to be any problem with him settling in, I don't think. And I feel like he looks like one of those players that could go on and be a really, really, really good signing. It's a shame we're not going to get Davis, but I think this guy really is going to be the player that we needed, that kind of focal point in the attack alongside Brennan Johnson. I think they'll link up very well together. And I'm excited to see him, to be honest. We also signed a centre-back from France. I honestly can't remember his name. He came from Troyes.
Oh, yeah. We'll find the name. We'll find the name. But
yes,
let's face it, we don't know him. We don't know.
No, he's going to be playing a rotational role at centre-back, I feel.
I think what's happening with Forest is there's building of depth, which I think we're going to really need. Now, I still want centre midfielders, a left-back, a right-back, and Morgan Gibbs-White has been thoroughly linked with the club. But the best signing of the summer, well, the best two signings of the summer, Cooper, contract, long-term. Brennan Johnson, contract, long-term. Those two at Forest are the best deal we could have. Right, that pretty much is all we have time for. Kieran, thank you so much for coming out of your really... Well, that was all we really had time for. And then Forest kept signing players. And every time me and Kieran thought about recording, there'd be another iron in the fire for the transfer business. So this has just been recorded a few days before Nottingham Forest play their first Premier League game in 23 years. Hope you enjoy the rest of this podcast. Hello and welcome back to part two of this Over the Trent end of season and pre-season review. Kieran, this has been a few weeks since we last recorded the podcast, but every time we thought about putting it out, Forest signed a new player. So it's been hard to time this well. We think they've stopped signing players and we need to get this out pretty much. Just before they play Newcastle. So we've already talked about Taiwo Awoniyi, we think we have, but as I think we've said on this podcast, it's been so long, we've both been so busy. He's a solid striker, fifth in the Bundesliga. Hopefully we're going to have to change our style around him. He seems to be very much, doesn't really enjoy having his back to the defenders, and it's just about trying to find that. Nico Williams, we talk, is a really good replacement for Jed Spence, and especially such a talented individual who just needs game time, in our opinion. Dean Henderson as well, also another one who just needs a little bit of time on the pitch. Now, Kieran, Dean Henderson has just, in the Premier League launch day for Forest, he's had a little go at Manchester United.
Yes, he has.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think he said anything too bad. I think the media has blown it up a little bit. I think it's fair enough. Like, he wouldn't have signed a new contract if he wasn't promised game time, and he obviously expected that. And I think it's a bit bad of United not to kind of give him that. I know he got a few games before he got COVID, and then after that he didn't really get a look in. And I have seen a few Manchester United fans saying, oh, but he wasn't good enough when we gave him the chance. But he didn't get a consistent string of games in, which for a goalkeeper, you need that consistency playing each week, arguably more so than any other position on the pitch. So I don't think he said anything that's been like that's fully disrespected United. I think he's just had a few little digs here and there, just as anyone else would at their employer if they didn't have a great time.
Yeah, and to be honest, we both just come from work, and we both go on, how's work? Ugh. So unfortunately, Premier League footballers, look at us in the Premier League. Who would have guessed? they now get more scrutinised, and I think Forest are going to slowly learn that we're not just on Nottingham. Live, we're not just on BBC Nottingham anymore. So I love those two fantastic broadcasters and read, but Sky Sports are really going to take an interest in us now. The BBC, there's a 5 Live almost mini documentary about us. People are going to start to take notice, so we just need to maybe tighten up a little bit is what I'd say.
Yeah.
The latest signing from Stuttgart for 12.6 million reportedly, Orel Mangala, Kieran as the CLC European expert. Good signing, or is he another one of those never really heard of him, lads?
No, I actually have heard of him before. Stuttgart, obviously being kind of a hallmark in the Bundesliga. He's actually a very, very good player. I said when we signed him that I would have happily have taken him at Brighton, to be honest. He's fantastic at dribbling, getting 2.23 dribbles in per 90, which puts him in the top 1% in the top five leagues, which is a mental stat. He's also very good at receiving progressive passes and kind of transitioning the ball up the pitch. So he's going to be that player that receives, that maybe comes a bit deeper, receives the ball, and then pushes on and gets the ball progressed further up the pitch. I mean, he's been compared to Wijnaldum a little bit.
Oh, really?
Which obviously isn't a bad comparison, though. So, yeah, it's a really good signing. Obviously, he played quite a bit for Stuttgart last season. I think he got, it was 28 appearances. He only scored one goal, got four assists, and he also made an appearance in the Pokal, the German Cup.
Okay.
He looks like a really decent signing. Can play pretty much anywhere in central midfield in a defensive or attacking capacity. Yeah, quite excited to see what he can do.
That's a really positive. And how do you think he'll correlate with Ryan Yates, who I'm going to assume, despite his elbow injury, I believe, will start on Saturday? How do you think he'll correlate with Yatesy?
Not quite sure, because I feel like he's a lot more progressive than Yates is. Obviously, Yates is such an interesting player because he played so many different kind of positions last year. He played more defensively in some games, and then he really came in with those late runs into the box towards the end of the season, especially obviously picking up quite a few goals from headers and stuff. So I'm not quite sure how they're gonna play. I feel like you'll probably find Aurel Mangala is a more technical player than Yates, someone that can really take on a man, dribble past a player, and then progress the ball on from there. But they could work quite well together.
Is Yates going to be picking up the ball, essentially, for Mangala to run with, essentially?
Yeah, probably. I feel like Yates might be used. I feel like when we go into the Premier League, Forest are definitely going to need to use a more defensive midfielder rather than the two kind of... There's definitely going to be someone that holds, someone that pushes on in a pivot if we use one. And I feel like Yates is probably going to end up being that defensive player. Who he's also been appointed as vice-captain as well, hasn't he, today?
Yes. Joe Worrell announced as club captain following Lewis Graben's departure. I think that's fair. I think we expected Lewis Graben to go. And Worrell, very much the heart and soul of this club. It makes sense, in my opinion. Now we're going to move on to another midfielder. Moving on from Mangala, Forest signed Jesse Lingard. Now, this is a really interesting topic. Obviously, a lot of controversy. Figures ranging from 200k a week to 80k a week. Obviously, these are very high figures, and I think a lot of people are getting a little bit worked up in the media, sort of building into something it isn't, especially with the cost of living crisis, and especially with Jesse Lingard maybe not hitting the full potential he could have done at Manchester United, and obviously him being such a prominent TikTok figure and social media. Do you remember he had a parrot in for England's first game against Croatia at the Euros? But he's an interesting lad. Obviously got a lot of off-the-field antics to go. But do you think it's a good signing for Forest, considering everything?
Taking the entire signing into kind of perspective, his kind of him being associated with the club and the kind of revenue he's going to bring in through shirt sales and other kind of external revenue sources other than just on the pitch will probably make up for the wages. Because obviously he is a England international, a very well-known player, and he will attract... kind of he'll attract certain fans to the club. However, on the pitch, I'm not too sure because he hasn't played too much recently. Obviously, when he was at West Ham, he was really, really good. It's whether he's given that kind of creative freedom he was at West Ham for Forest, which I really hope he is, because there is a player in there. That's the thing. Yeah. There always has been. He just needs to get his attitude right and get his head down and really push on and play football. But when it comes to wages, let's just put it out that I don't think it's 200,000 a week. I don't think Forrest would have agreed to that. Recently, I've seen that it was 80k a week, which probably seems a bit more realistic. I think anywhere up to 120,000 was probably the real figure, because anything above that, it just completely destroys the wage structure. And I know Forrest want to be ambitious, but they've got to be smart about how they spend money still. So I think it's probably anywhere up to 120,000, which is still a lot of money. It's more than some established Premier League clubs are spending on their top wage. So it's going to, I don't think, as long as he performs on the pitch and is given the kind of creative freedom to perform, I don't see a problem with it. But when he doesn't start performing, he's got to know that the fans will turn on him fairly quickly.
Unfortunately, that is the case. I think with the desperation that would suggest in that situation, if he's not performing, we're not creating chances, then it could be a desperate situation at the end of the season. We do want Lingard to do well, and I think he could be really good for, well, I just think creating a really tangible link between the midfield, maybe even the back five, to the front two, especially Johnson. Johnson obviously being signed, who was there at Wembley when our next two signings were defeated. Now, we're a forgiving bunch here over the Trent, aren't we?
Yeah.
Toflo and O'Brien, we forgive all your former misdemeanors of playing for that team in blue and white. We forgive you for the dives. It's all okay now. You're joining the church of Nottingham Forest. Interesting signings, as well as O'Brien and Toflo. Carlos Corberan left Huddersfield Town. Kieran, do you know what club he's now managing?
Managing Olympiacos, isn't he?
Which does mean two things. We've taken their two best players. We have since reduced their managerial capacity to none. And where have we taken them? To our sister club? And they're no longer in, well, they're not in the Premier League, despite one clear penalty shout and one that wasn't. Cheers, O'Brien. We'll teach you how to dive properly later. Just good depth, do you think, for the squad?
I think we can all breathe a sigh of collective relief that we will not be seeing Gaetan Bong play in the Premier League now that Harry Toffolo has signed as our kind of backup fullback, I would say. Obviously, we're going to come on to the other left back that we signed. However, I think Toffolo offers really good depth in that area. He's a capable fullback. I don't think he would get into the starting team, but I wouldn't be terrified to see him coming on off the bench. And O'Brien looks like a really, really good pickup, to be honest, especially for depth, as you say. Obviously, last season for that team in blue and white, he got 3 goals, 3 assists in 43 starts, which bad. He's got some kind of output at least about him, but I don't think he's really that kind of creative player. He's more that industrious engine kind of midfielder who gets around and puts a real shift in. So hopefully he can kind of, because I think he was definitely Huddersfield's best player last season. Hopefully he can kind of carry that over to Forest in the Premier League. But overall really, really good depth signings. And it'd be interesting to see who starts between Mangala and O'Brien and where Colback fits into everything, whether he's going to be playing in midfield or at wingback. But it's obviously Toffolo being the backup wingback now. Doesn't leave much room for Colback, but we'll just have to see about that, I suppose.
Colback, someone who's also been heavily utilised in the pre-season friendlies from what I've seen, he just looks like he could be in the squad. And it does feel at times Forest are buying a lot, and I'm not sure how it looks to the outside world, but we'd be criticised much like Norwich if Forest hadn't gone out and tried to do something. But then you either go like Fulham the last time they're in the Premier League and try and buy a whole new 11.
The other thing about this kind of deal, the O'Brien Toffolo deal, I feel like I don't think this is the case, but from the outside, it kind of looks like that we wanted O'Brien and we needed Toffolo to get the deal done.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, I can see that. Right, we'll move on to our final purchase, Awoniyi, which I believe we talked about in the first part of this. a lot of variations on how we pronounce it. So, you know, this is just going to fluctuate throughout the year. It might be Awani. It could really range, but a really good striker. Sam Surridge, also in the backup following a surgery in Germany the day after promotion. Just a good signing and I think a really positive step for Forest, Kieran.
Yeah, Awani, it had a really, really good Bundesliga campaign. I'm just trying to find the stats that I have for him.
Well, he finished fifth in the...
Finished fifth.
And that's behind Lewandowski.
Yeah, he finished fifth behind Lewandowski, behind Haaland, who was in that as well.
Mm-hmm. So two of the best strikers in the world.
Gnabry as well, I'm pretty sure.
A Europa League winner. Yeah, so that's a very good division. I'm a little worried, as I voiced on your Chatting at Champions pod, that the Bundesliga is vastly overrated. And you look at all the people we're signing from the Bundesliga, I'm a little bit worried that it might go a bit turbo Timo and we might just be floundering a little bit.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. I only need to come through the Liverpool Academy. He's already kind of somewhat acclimatised to what English football is like. I think he played for their Premier League 2 side, so under 23s at some point. Then he went to Germany to try and find game time and he had a very, very successful campaign. He scored 15 goals in the season. Bad, is it? Not really. He's good on the ball. He's a good dribbler, completing 1.2 dribbles per game. And he's also pretty good at progressing the ball with passes. He's averaging nearly two progressive passes per 90, which for a striker is pretty decent creative numbers. It puts him in the top 25% of strikers there. So I feel like he's going to be a really good signing for us. Obviously, he's going to be the focal point alongside Johnson. It'd be interesting to see how those two kind of bounce off of each other and whether we might actually switch to a front three now that Lingard's in, obviously.
Yes. I can't figure out the formation. And that leads on to our next topic. This is my predicted 11. I want to hear your thoughts for Saturday. Henderson in goal. Omar Richards from Bayern Munich. We talked about him in the previous part, I believe. A really exciting left back and someone who I think could really create a lot of space for Nico Williams as well. Obviously, you can't just... By the end of the season, everyone was just able to cram down the right-hand side for Spence. With two really electric fullbacks, I think that could be a really good mix. My three centre-backs have gone Worrell, new club captain, that just reaffirmed his spot in the starting 11. McKenna, who was player of the year last year. And I've gone Ian Carter, I could be absolutely butchering that name, or Bianconi. There's so many different options at centre-back. But I'm going to go Ian Carter for the first game. Yates and Mangala in midfield, central midfield. Lingard, Johnson and Awani. As a sort of front three, Lingard and Johnson being able to swap positions. I'm going to say Johnson's going to be working a lot with Nico. Their work throughout Wales is going to be a big part. But I think it's positive. It's a really good side to face Newcastle. And that leads me on to my first prediction question, Kieran, of the podcast. What do you think the score will be?
Oh, do I go positive here or do I look at it? I reckon both teams are scoring here because Newcastle haven't looked great defensively, but then neither have Forest. No. In all of the preseason games, we conceded, I'm pretty sure.
Bob Burton, which was a 1-0 win, but yeah.
It's Burton.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
So if we conceded against Burton, I would be worried. But I think Newcastle definitely are going to score at some point. I mean, Their strike force, they're Bruno Guimaraes in midfield, who's a really creative midfielder, obviously. And then they have Callum Wilson, who is a very capable striker in the Premier League.
He's essentially a Premier League Lewis Graham, I've always thought.
He is.
And Alan Saint-Maximin too.
I think it's 2-1 either way.
Yeah.
I don't know what way, but I think whoever scores first is probably going to end up winning.
I can see a late consolation goal for Forest in the 88th minute. 2-0 down. I think that's going to be the scoreline. Now, Kieran, we're going to do five predictions each. This is going to go out on Over the Trent Pod or onward our Instagram account. So the first question, Kieran, as you yawn into the mic, who is going to be Forrest's man of the season?
Man of the season, eh? I think that is going to go to, see, I want to say Johnson, but to be a very successful striker in the Premier League and to be like player of the season as a striker in the first season up, usually it's a defender, someone who's always solid at the back, or a midfielder. I am going to go with McKenna as our man of the season.
McKenna, 2 years in a row. I'm writing this down. Scott McKenna for Kieran. I am going to go Nico Williams as my player of the year. I think his attacking prowess and defensive could keep Forest up. Highest goal scorer of the campaign.
I am going to...
FA Cup and League Cup.
Including those. Okay, yeah. Cool. I am going to go with Brennan Johnson here.
Brennan Johnson. Good shout. I'm going to be positive and I'm going to say Awoniyi. I think his size will really help. I think his skill will be fantastic in the box. I don't think there's going to be as many goalmouth scrambles as Lewis Graham was able to sort of fill his boots with. But I think Awoniyi will get the goals for Forest. Also, I need to be slightly different. But also, I'm a little bit worried Brennan might just have a slight slowing rate this year. Who will have the most FPL points for Forest this year? I'm going to give you time to think about that, and you can't copy me here. I'm going to go Nico Williams. I think our fullbacks are always a great position to go for. So I'm going to go Nico. I think him under Stevie Cooper, the Welsh connection with Jono, it just screams money for me. Kieran?
I'm going to go a little bit different. Similar thinking that fullbacks generally do get a lot of points in FPL. I'm going to go for the other side and go for Omar Richards.
Lovely stuff. That's just really good head-to-head. I like that.
Yeah. I think that he's, when he gets the lineup, he is out with a fractured leg right now.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah, hairline fracture.
I need to look at the medical. So who do you put there? Toffolo?
Yeah, probably Toffolo. But yeah, he's out with a hairline fracture expected back at the start of September. So
okay.
He's been out for 56 days so far. He's expected to be out for the rest of this month. And then he's back around the 14th, apparently.
Okay.
So it's not awful. But I think coming from Bayern Munich, a team where you have the likes of Alphonso Davies, one of the most attacking fullbacks in the world, I feel like that you kind of taught from such like a young age coming through their kind of youth system that you get forward. And you also put work in to get back. So I feel like Richards is going to be a real asset on that left side. A lot of teams probably will single out Williams to start off with and try to kind of pin him down. But I feel like once Richards is back and playing consistently, I feel like he could be really dangerous on that side. And also he's quick. He is rapid.
I agree. Now, last two questions. How many rounds of the FA Cup do you think we'll be in?
I'm going to say quarters.
Interesting. Very positive. Very positive. Repeat of what we did this year. I'm going to say we're only going to get to the fourth round. I just think it's very rare that we get that far. And I think relegation might be a slight issue for us. So I'm going to say the fourth round. Quite differing opinions. Now, the final question, positions, Kieran. Where will Forest finish at the end of this season?
Okay. Going off of what I said earlier today on the chat, I said that Brighton, Villa and Palace are going to occupy 8 to 10. That was my prediction there. I don't think Forest are going to get out of the bottom fifth. I don't think they're going to get out of the bottom five. But I think they're going to be at the top of that. So I'm going to go 15th.
Interesting. I'm putting you down for 15th. I'm going to go 17th. I think we're going to stay up by the skin of our teeth. I just think
you're being positive for once.
Yes. I think Bournemouth and Fulham are atrocious at the moment. I think Leicester are in absolute free fall. Today marks the day Kasper Schmeichel has just announced he's leaving. Very, very interesting. No signings really from Leicester either. I think they could be in real trouble at Christmas. So I'm going to say they'll recover. But it's not looking pretty for the Foxes. I think Leeds, I think even Everton could be in real trouble. Now, Kieran, I said this in our pre-match amble. we're going to do a slightly weird bet. What is the, if this happens, I'll buy you a drink at the Trent Bridge Inn, our favourite place to go post-games, if you are a listener and want to meet us. We're always free for a pint at the Trent Bridge Inn. I am going to say, Kieran, if this happens this year, I will buy you a pint. If Forest, by September, are in a European spot, any part of September, if we occupy a European spot for no matter how short that moment may be, might even be on goal difference, during a game, I will buy you a drink. If Forest are in a European position, that includes seventh. I'm going to say seventh upwards.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I'm just getting the fixtures up quickly.
I pretty much know them off by heart. So it's Newcastle, then it's West Ham at home, which will be therefore very exciting. We then have Everton away, which is less exciting and also an absolute sellout. Forest, then I believe, who do we have?
Spurs.
Oh, that's tricky. It's a tough run in. I know that's why I'm going for this. I think it's not going to happen, but I'm just going to try and be optimistic. Man City, Fulham, Bournemouth, Leeds are the next three games after that, not in that order, but it's possible. It sure is possible. Also, have you seen how many games have been moved for TV viewing? I just want a Saturday 3 p.m. I think we're playing Liverpool 12 p.m. on 12:30 on a Sunday morning. It's like, oh, that's not proper. So cheers, Sky and BT. Really, really appreciating that. But Kieran, right. What will you buy me a drink if it happens?
I'm going to go for a similar time frame just so we can kind of see if any of them happen and maybe do another one at the end of September, say.
Kieran, content is king. I love it.
Keep yeah, going. Exactly. If this happens, I will buy you a drink.
Yes.
If any player in the Forest squad have more than 5 goals by the end of September, I'll buy you a drink.
Oh, that is spicy. That is spicy. I like that, Kieran. That's a great shout. If you want to see these lists compiled, it's going to be on Over the Trent Pod, all one word. Very good Instagram page by myself and Kieran. Kieran, overall feelings for the season? Excited? Nervous?
Oh, I'm buzzing for the West Ham game. Honestly, the atmosphere in that game is just going to be unreal. First Premier League game back. It's just first game back for me of the season as well. Yeah. It's going to be so good. But I feel like we're going to go into it all optimistic. We're going to go through what I went through in the first season back with Brighton, where you absolutely hate the Premier League for the middle of the season because it's the most frustrating thing. But it's going to be so rewarding by the end of it.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit worried. I wonder how other Forest fans feel about this. And this is quite a deep thought as a 10-minute warning comes in. I don't think we'll fill this with 10 minutes. But we've always aimed for the Premier League in my lifetime. That's always been the ambition. And now we're here. It feels very interesting. And Andrew Strauss said something very interesting on The Edge, which is a fantastic cricket documentary, which myself and Toby absolutely rant and rave about, which is a great viewing for a sports documentary and an art house film. It's fantastic. What do you do whilst you've reached your goals? How do you keep on going? And that feels very much, I'm going to be very interested to see what happens from this point on. I'm also very worried about VAR. What Steve Cook said on that balcony in Market Square has got me a little bit nervous. Just tempting the gods against City, I'm going to say. We already know what happened against Liverpool. That was just offside. Also, the lack of games is a little bit frustrating, no midweek nights, but also can't complain too much. The atmosphere is going to be something else. A little bit annoying that Y Block's lost a bit of its support. That is very harsh on the fans. And, you know, with success comes a little bit of sacrifice. And I'm sure the atmosphere at City Ground will probably be even better. I think A Block might just get a little bit extended, shall we say. Best of luck to everyone in A Block and the stewards there as well. It's going to be an interesting one. Sunday, yeah. I cannot wait to get there. And this is our first home game since the Sheffield United game. Being able to sit back in our seats and just take it all in. I remember we got there about an hour early and just took it all in. Just seeing the ground fill up. It was just a magical moment. Those beautiful sunny evenings of football need to be cherished. So Forest fans, no matter the score, we're going to absolutely drown out those bubbles. It's going to be Mullikintyre all the way, is what I'm saying. But I'm very excited. And the Forest first game of the season, for us radio nerds, it's on 5 Live. It's the 3 p.m. kickoff. That hasn't happened in my lifetime on BBC 5 Live. That just means the world to me. That really does. That means so much to me. So I'm really excited to that. I think Ian Dennis is the one commentating. Hopefully Darren Fletcher maybe just there to add a bit of Forest balance. But yeah, it's a really exciting time for Forest fans. Kieran, how, any other business you want to get off your chest? Thoughts on the kits?
The kits, okay, right. Home kit, didn't like it to start off with, but I thought it was very boring. However, I have gone back and looked at it many times since then, and it has grown on me. I do like it, and I'm very annoyed it has sold out.
Yes.
Away kit still hasn't grown on me yet. I know it's a very historical kind of, it's a remake of a historical kit. Just not a fan of yellow and blue going together, to be honest. Last time I had a yellow and blue kit for a team that I followed was Brighton, and we only won 3 games in that kit across 2 seasons.
Wow, so, that's impressive. Not buying that one.
The third kit that came out today, really like it, actually. I think it's a very different kit. Looks a little bit like the seats you get on a bus.
I was going to say, it looks very reminiscent of an Arsenal kit a few years ago.
Yeah, it does a little bit, actually. I do really like it. And the colours go really well together. And I think that is the kit that I am going to buy this year.
I think it is as well. I think it'll be a cult kit. Really do.
Yeah, I think get that one. Something a bit different. I've already got the home kit from last season. So
with Mighton's name on it, who has suddenly, he's gone out on loan. So best luck to Alec Mighton. Joe Lolly apparently has been forced to train with the under 23. So if there's anyone you want us to get rid of, Forest fans, we will be there to get rid of them. We'll get them on our back, but you can pay for that. Can't wait to see that Premier League badge on our sleeve. That means the absolute world to us. Kieran, been lovely chatting to you. We'll probably have a little chat off air. It's just nice to catch up. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to Over the Trend. I'm sure this has been a bit of a weird, disjointed episode, but Forest kept signing players. We're going to talk about a lot more about Mansfield Town and Notts County in the upcoming season. We might even talk about Derby County, especially with the Premier League going on. We're going to have plenty more guests this year. We're going to hopefully have a few Geordies talking about their perspective of the recent game. Plenty of Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans from London who will want to talk to us about their upcoming games. And I'm sure we can find a Man City fan somewhere. It's been great talking to you. Go well. Keep it URM.